Well, folks, if you have a Bible with you and you wish to read along, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. And we're going to read through to verse 27. Matthew 7, verse 13 through to 27. And the words should hopefully be on the screen. Oh dear, I should have brought my glasses. Sound desk people, I can't read that. Right, you'll forgive me. I'm going to turn and look at this screen because that is too far away for me to see. And we'll read together Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through to 15. This is Jesus speaking here. And he says this, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Amen. May God bless that reading to us. I wonder this evening if any of you have ever heard of a comedian called Sarah Pascoe. Sarah Pascoe became famous for making a very small mistake with her travel plans. One day she found herself crying over a breakup with her boyfriend and so decided to book a yoga retreat to Spain to make herself feel better. So she took out her phone and she opened up the holiday website and she began scrolling through all the places in Spain to visit. Oh, there was the Costa Brava. And then there was the Costa del Sol. Oh, there was the Costa Blanca. And then she said, oh, there's even the Costa de la Luz. Wiping away the tears and the snot as she sat on this bench, she found the one she wanted. She pushed the book button. Her flights were sorted. The accommodation was sorted. And the following week, she was off to the airport. Well, Sarah Pascoe sat down on the plane, and she looked at that little screen, you know, they've got in front of the seats in front of you. And she scratched her head because it said, "Time of flight, 14 and a half hours. 14 and a half hours," she said. "I thought Spain was only 3 to 4 hours. And then it had the map, you know, with the plane and the little dots that go behind it. And this plane was coming out of Europe and heading towards America. Oh," she said, "I'm on the wrong plane. How has this happened?" She grabbed something and said, "What's going on? We're going to Spain." It was at that moment Sarah Pascoe was told that the Costa Rica is not in Spain, it's in Central America. And before she could get off the plane, the doors had closed, the seatbelt light was on, and subsequently she found herself landing in a place she never intended to visit. In our Bible reading tonight, Jesus is going to lay down a truth. And I'm going to warn you, it might be hard for you to hear. Because what he is going to tell us is that some people, when they die, are going to end up in a place they never intended to visit. You see, after death, the Bible is very clear. There is heaven and there is hell. And the important thing for us to know this evening, friends, is that whilst many people live with the idea that you live, die, and then your destination is decided after you die, God has said, no, that is not true. Your destination is not decided once you die, it's decided while you live. And so what that means tonight is that we must pay very careful attention. We must think very carefully about how we are living now, so that we too do not end up in a place that we do not want to visit when we die. Now, to help get this idea across, Jesus says, I want you to think of your life as traveling down one of two roads. Each road has its own destination, it goes to its own place, and each road has its own characteristics, which we will see. But the wonderful thing tonight is that you get to choose for yourself which road you want to be on. That's the best part of this tonight. There's two roads, they're going to different places, but the choice is yours. You get to decide which road for you. So let's, without any further ado, get into this tonight by thinking about the two roads. First road we're going to speak about tonight is the highway to hell. Yes, I might have stole that from AC/DC. And yes, it sounds quite ominous. But it fits an analogy nicely. Because look what Jesus says. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Now, what Jesus has just said there is that there is a way of living which will lead a person to hell. And the scary part of this, he says, is that many people are on this road. And so immediately when we hear that, isn't the question we are filled with in our minds, why on earth would many people be on this road? Why would anyone want to travel this direction? Well, Jesus actually tells us. First of all, he says, many people are on this road because it is the easy road to travel. Did you see that? It said broad, wide is the gate, broad is the road. For me coming here tonight, I had an hour and a half's drive, okay? Now, when I leave sunny Alt Bay, it's never sunny, it's always raining, but when I leave Alt Bay, I've got 32 miles of windy roads. Now, that is a nightmare if you get stuck behind someone. So I quite look forward to the bit when I get to the Braymoor Junction and we turn off and we get to go on to the bigger road. Ah, sometimes the problem is, though, I get stuck behind the ferry traffic. And so at that moment, I know I can try and overtake, but there's too many cars. And so I have to wait all the way to Tor Roundabout. When finally I pull off Tor Roundabout, the lanes double, it opens up, I say goodbye to the pace car. I'm like, now we're talking. This is now what I'm all about. This is easier. And if I'm going much further south, oh, just wait for the motorway. I get a wee bit confused when there's three lanes, but even still, it's much easier driving on a motorway than it is on those single-track roads. Jesus says the reason there are so many people on the road to hell, friends, is because it is the big, open, easy road. It's an easy road. It's the path of least resistance. And so in this life, you can do what you want. You can say what you want. You can think what you want. You can behave how you want. Sleep with whoever you want. Drink as much as you want. Hey, don't think about God. Don't think about your soul. Don't think about sin. That's far too negative. Ignore all of that. Because see, on this road, life's a party. You're in charge. And all that really matters is that you're happy. Because see, on this road, it's all about you. Jesus says, listen, the road to hell is simple. Just do whatever you want. Because at the end of the day, you're in charge. Secondly, friends, Jesus says there's a lot of people on this road because it's the easiest road to get on. Did you notice he said you enter this road by going through the wide gate? Wide gates are easy to get through, aren't they? In fact, some gates are so wide that you don't even know you're going through them. For example, when I go home tonight, I head up towards Ullapool, and about 10 miles south of there, I turn off at what we call the Braymore Junction. Now, it's a road that goes right up over this really high up mountain pass. And for a long time, I was going over that road saying to myself, you know, there's a lot of snow on this road. They should really put some snow gates down at the start of this bit. Because if the snow gets much worse, I'm never going to get off this. Years went by, friends, me thinking they should really put some snow gates down here. Years went by until someone said to me, you do know there are snow gates as you go onto that road, Dan. No, I said, I've never seen them. What do you mean you've never seen them, Dan? They're bright, luminous orange. You cannot miss them. And so the next time I went to Inverness, I thought, I will see for myself. And well, friends, that was a journey of eating humble pie. Because I looked at them and I went, oh yeah, so there are. But you see, the thing is, friends, I never noticed them because they were so wide open. They never impinged me. They never got in my way. They never restrained me. And so I completely passed them by. Jesus says there are a lot of people on the road to hell for the simple reason that this is the easiest road to get on. It is the path of least resistance, and it's something that's not going to restrain you. You're going to find yourself on this road, even if you don't realize it. Thirdly, Jesus said the reason there's so many people on this road is because they don't think about where it's leading. You see, when you ignore your soul, when you ignore God, when you think, I don't do all that religious stuff, or you think, I'll think about it another day, I'll decide tomorrow. What you often don't realize, friends, is that with that attitude, you are indicating to God that you don't want anything to do with Him. And God's position on this is very clear. He says, if you want nothing to do with me in this life, then I want nothing to do with you in the next. That's a solemn thought. But that's why Jesus said, this road leads to destruction. Now, listen, friends, I know in our culture we don't like to talk about hell. I'm maybe offending you right now by even talking about it. Churches, I think, are made to feel guilty. You can't talk about hell. Oh, that'll put people off. Oh, please don't talk about that. Sometimes you'll hear people say, hell? Well, that's not very nice. Or my personal favorite, that's not very inclusive. Or that's offensive. You've offended me. You ever noticed in this day and age, everyone is scared of offending someone? You ever noticed that? You're scared to even say what you believe because what might someone else say? You're scared to say you go to church that you're a Christian because you think your employer might fire you. You're scared because what might your friends call you? There is a culture of fear in our country. And one of the impacts of this is that churches are becoming scared of the simple fact that Jesus said there is a heaven and there is a hell. And let me tell you, friends, if you bow to the pressure to ignore this truth, then you are not helping anyone. You are not helping anyone by saying, don't worry about hell, just forget about that. We're all going to heaven, we'll all get there in the end. All you're doing with that is giving people a false sense of security, and it's not right. Not to mention that you're also stealing the beauty of the gospel. Because the warmth and love of God is found in not only knowing what God has saved you to, but it's found in knowing what God has saved you from. An eternity of separation from the most loving person that has ever walked this planet, Jesus Christ. And the reason Jesus tells us about this, it's not to be mean. It's not to be exclusive. It's to warn us, get on the right road. Get on the road where you get to spend all eternity with me, because that's God's desire. God wants everyone to come to know his love. God wants you in heaven. I don't know you personally. I don't know you individually. But can I say to you tonight, if you're the kind of person who thinks God probably doesn't want me, you are so wrong. Why on earth did he send his son, Jesus Christ? It was to prove to you that he wants you in heaven with him for all eternity. And so Jesus says to us very simply today, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And more than that, he says, I want you to think about what road you are on and where it ends. So that's our first point, the highway to hell. You still with me? Right. Some of you sleeping. Get my water while you wake up. Let's go on to the second point, will we? Now we have the road to heaven. Being on the road to heaven represents living out the Christian life, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect, doesn't mean you don't make mistakes, doesn't mean you're better than other people. A Christian is someone who has a relationship with the Lord. We've come to know him as our Savior. We're living with him as our God. And just as Jesus described the road to hell, he also describes the road to heaven. Look what he says. He says, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We asked ourselves, why are there many on the road to hell? Well, let's ask ourselves, why are there few on the road to heaven? Well, first of all, Jesus tells us, it's because this is a hard road. I wonder how many of you here have ever driven over to Torridon during the height of the summer tourist season. Anyone? Anyone done the Applecross Road? Yes? How many of you dare to venture into Skye in summer? Yes, well, you will know it's a dangerous road, isn't it? There are potholes the size of craters. You could lose a Nissan Micra in them. There are passing places all along the place, and you have to use every single one of them because there's camper vans everywhere. And I'm sorry if you've got a camper van. It's just that you're a nuisance, right? There's single track. It's honestly, it's an adventure. But it's a hard road, isn't it? It's a hard journey. You get to your destination and you go, oh, it's lovely, we're here, but oh, I need a nap. Jesus says, listen, the Christian life can be like that, friends. It can be a hard journey. And I think it's important for you to know, especially from the front, as a minister, it is hard to be a Christian. I find it hard. And I want to tell you that because some people have the idea, oh, if you become a Christian, God's on your side, so he's going to clear the path for you. He's going to make it easy. It'll be plain sailing. Oh, it's not. It's not. I've got to be honest with you. Sometimes your faith will cause a relationship to end. Sometimes your faith will make you different from other people. And then that's not to mention the fact that the devil's going to throw every spanner in his toolbox into your life to try and upset your faith. Oh, he wants you to doubt. He wants you to miss church. He wants you to think God can't forgive you. He wants you to think you are far too sinful and shameful to be deserving of eternal life. He wants to hold you back. And so Jesus says, listen, there are fewer people on this road because it's a hard road to take. Secondly, he said there's fewer people on it because it's a lonely road. You know, when you're a Christian, especially if you become a Christian later on in life, it can be lonely when your spouse doesn't become a Christian with you. Sometimes as a Christian, you find yourself walking a different road from your parents. Sometimes you find yourself being different from your colleagues and your friends. Sometimes as a Christian, you can be surrounded by people and still feel very much alone. Now, I know what you might be thinking here. You might be saying, well, Dan, you're really not painting this Christian life in a very positive light. You might be saying, Dan, if this is your sales pitch, I am not buying. But that's where, friends, I remind you, this is not a sales pitch. This is a reality check. This is me telling you what Jesus told us, so we go into this with our eyes wide open. This can be a hard life, and this can be a lonely life. But the reason we take this road is because think about where it ends. Thirdly, he said it leads to heaven, didn't he? Small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. Sometimes when I speak with my friends down south and they say, oh, why do you live way up there? I say, look, come and see. And they look at the map and they go, whoa, oh, that's a long way though. I go all the way up the A9 and then when I get to Inverness, I still go an hour and a half. Why on earth would you do it? And so I say to them, look, just come and see. And so they pack up their bags, they get in the car, they make the journey north. I always remind them, Philip and Inverness, because you don't want to leave it after that with no fuel. Get snacks, bring me some. They make their way, winding the roads, all 32 miles of that windy bit. They get out of the car, they look at the destination, and they look at me and they say, now I get it. Now I understand why you live here. Friends, the Christian life is not the easy life, but let me tell you this. See when you get to heaven and Jesus Christ embraces you. And Revelation says God the Father wipes the tears from your eyes. And you feel the effects of sin drain out of you. You'll know it was worth it. There has never been a soul, and there will never be a soul that ever entered into the gates of heaven and regretted the difficulties they faced in order to get there. This is a wonderful place, and it's worth the journey. And so Jesus says, let's keep this nice and simple. There's two roads. One is considerably harder than the other, but it leads to heaven, not hell. And that's the road I want you on. And so, friends, with our time remaining tonight, I want us to now begin to think about communion. Because if you remember at the very start, I said to you, your final destination is not decided once you die, it's decided while you live. And this is where communion is helpful, because communion is a way of us saying with a physical act, I have decided to join the road to heaven. It's a physical act that represents a spiritual reality. Now, how do we get on the road to heaven is the important question. If you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, well, when I came in, I was on the road to hell, but I want to get on the road to heaven, what must I do? Well, Jesus tells us, doesn't he? He says, enter through the narrow gate. But what does that mean? Well, in John 10, verse 9, Jesus described himself like this. Listen to what he said. He said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Jesus is saying, I am the gate. If you come to me, I will get you on the road that leads to heaven. Now, in your culture, there's lots of roads to heaven, isn't there? When you listen to people, they'll say, oh, all roads lead to God. No matter what faith you've got, we all get there in the end. But that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. You might say, well, Dan, that's not very nice. That's a wee bit exclusive. But listen, the Bible says there is no other name by which a person can be saved. So that means Jesus is the one you need to go to. And why do we go to him? Because he is the one who died on the cross to pay for our sin. Buddha didn't pay for your sin. Muhammad didn't pay for your sin. Confucius didn't pay for your sin. And friends, you can't pay for your sin. But Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to this world to pay for our sin. Because you see, when you want to get on the road to heaven, the first problem you have is that if you have sin in your life, you're not allowed on it. And so what Jesus did is he came to pay off your sin. to get rid of your sin and welcome you on the road that leads to eternal life. Here's how we could think about this tonight. How do you think about the cross? Well, I want you to imagine tonight that I'm going to write you a check. I want to stress, imagine I'm going to write you a check. Okay? This check, it's wonderful though, because this check is going to pay off your mortgage. It's going to pay off your debts. It's going to pay off your PCP or your HP or your whatever other P. And not only that, it's not going to only just pay off your current debt, it's going to pay off any future debt that you might incur. Now, in order for me to write that check, what must I have? I must have the money. I must have the funds. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he went to store up the funds that were required for you to be forgiven. Because all your sin is like a debt to God's justice. You're in debt to God. You've done wrong things. And because of those wrong things, God says, I'm sorry, you cannot be with me in heaven. But Jesus went to the cross to take away those sins by paying for them with his own life. All that debt you have today, all that debt you had yesterday, and more than that, all that debt of your sin that you will commit tomorrow, he has the funds to pay it off. And he is the only one who has the fund to pay it off. And so when we gather tonight and we have this bread and this wine, what we're getting the opportunity to do tonight is two things. Number one, we're getting the opportunity to remember that Jesus Christ's body was broken on the cross and his blood was spilt. And what that gives us is the ability to come and say, Jesus, will you forgive me? And if we will do that, then he says, you have come to the gate, you have passed through it, and now the hope of heaven is yours to come. If you are new to communion, friends, let me say this very briefly. The bread represents Jesus' body that was broken on the cross. The wine represents his blood, which signifies this new relationship we have with God. If communion comes around and you are saying to yourself, Dan, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to be on the road to heaven. Then I would say to you, all you have to do is let the communion elements pass you by. It's not for you. But if, on the other hand, you're saying, no, wait a minute. I want to be in heaven with Jesus. I want to be with the Lord. I recognize what Jesus has done. I recognize it's Jesus' body and blood was paid for my sin. I want to be on that road. Then once they come round, I invite you to take the bread and remember the sacrifice of Christ. Drink the wine, remember the blood of Christ, and then know you are saved. Heaven is yours to come.